call the House Rules Committee together, date March 7th, at approximately 3:07 of the year 2000. Take a roll call, and Representative Green, Representative Cott.
Here.
Representative Phillips.
Here.
Representative Porter.
Here.
Representative Berkowitz.
Yep.
Representative Jewell.
Yes.
And Representative Cowdery is present. We have a quorum. And the first day thing up is House Bill 315.
Oops.
Or Gail, are you?
I can stay for both, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. Let me get my staff here in a minute. You want to talk about 315, or do we have somebody?
Annette Kreiser from Lauren Lehman's office.
Okay. Okay. Annette, could you come up and identify yourself? And
for the record, Mr. Chairman, my name is Annette Kreiser. I'm staff to Senator Lauren Lehman. The purpose of coming before your committee today was to offer a possible amendment to House Bill 315 that would allow the Lieutenant Governor to use abbreviated public notices in newspapers. I brought a couple of examples. One, I don't know if you can see from way back there, but this is two columns, about, I'd say, 6 or 7 column inches, maybe 10 column inches. And right next to it is about a three column inch notice from the Department of Transportation. This agencies can save a lot of money if they do abbreviated public notices and not include absolutely everything in that public notice, and that's what the amendment would do. It would clearly say what has to be in that abbreviated notice, and yet it leaves room for Lieutenant Governor to allow state agencies to use a larger notice format if it's necessary, if Lieutenant Governor feels that the issue is so compelling that it would require an expanded format.
Do we have a copy of the amendment?
I thought there was
a copy. Is your copy of the amendment? In your pack, I believe.
Yeah. Yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I don't have a copy of the amendment.
He may just be not got a flag for you.
See, thanks, sir.
Mr. Chairman, if you'd like, I can step through this sectional analysis since it's a couple of pages.
Everybody got the amendment now?
It's GH2007/A1 by Bannister, February 16th. That's the, okay. First of all, it would change the title of the bill, which is why we're here in the House Rules Committee. And then the second portion of this is what allows Lieutenant Governor, this is Section 3, I'm reading from the amendment, allows Lieutenant Governor to require state agencies to use abbreviated public notices in newspapers of general circulation. Section 4 amends Article 2 of the Administrative Procedures Act, allowing the Lieutenant Governor to provide internet notice of regulations outside the scope of the Administrative Procedures Act. This change is a conforming change with the rest of the bill. It allows for abbreviated printed notices directing interested parties to more detailed internet notices. But again, it does not, there's some misperception about this amendment that somehow it's taking away all newspaper advertisement, and that is not what this amendment does. It still allows for newspaper advertisement, but as you can see, DOT clearly will have a smaller bill than an agency which is advertising with this much print, and that's what the goal of it is. Page 3, lines 24 through page 4, line 26, just recognizes the advances in technology. We list the Alaska Online Public Notice System here. That is what the bill before you deals with and changes to that. It recognizes that instead of mailing, I'm looking at page 2 of the amendment now, instead of mailing, you're furnishing. In other words, you could furnish notice through the internet. but it doesn't require that. You can also furnish means includes mail or internet access. Line 27, you'll see we're substituting the word provided for published, but you can still provide by publishing. It just broadens the terminology that's used in the law. Section 7 on page 3 conforms Article 4 of the Administrative Procedure Act, again, dealing with the procedure for adopting regulations. It states failure to furnish instead of failure to mail a notice, again, broadening what can happen. Not restricting it to just mailing a notice. Section 8 amends the contents of public notice, and this is where the Lieutenant Governor would go when she talks about when she is looking to tell the departments what should be in these abbreviated notices. And abbreviated notices would include a statement of the time, place, and nature of proceedings for adoption, amendment, or repeal of the regulation, that's current law. Other matters prescribed by a statute applicable to the specific agency or to the specific regulation or class of regulations, that's current law. And a brief general description of the proposed subject of agency action, how more detailed information may be obtained, in other words, how do you get more information about it, and the name of the agency contact person. And that's what is contained in these abbreviated notices here that you saw at the table. Those elements are what are in the abbreviated notice. So that's what the amendment does. Section 12 that's repealed, in case you have a question about the repeal, on page 4 of the amendment, 4462-200A7, just above that on the same page in the amendment. That is 190D. It's just moved up now and appears as number 7. Is that clear? On page 4, where it says lines 12 through 14 of the amendment, page 5, following line 23, 4462-190D is repealed. And in case everybody wants to know what's being repealed, it's actually being 190D reads the same as lines 7 through 10 in the amendment on page 4. So it's just being moved up. It's not going away. It's now included as part of what has to be incorporated into the public notice.
Representative Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Annette, there was a lot of concern by the publishers of printed record that this amendment was going to do away with the ability for newspapers to go out and still sell advertisements to have a printed record. I'm not certain on the word in your amendment in on page 1, line 3, and the title, an act relating to the giving of certain state agency notices, and then relating to the elimination of the journal, establishing the online system, etc. But I'm concerned about that word relating to the giving. It's not, I don't know in my mind that means we can still have published notices in newspapers or magazines or whatever. So I have a real question on that.
The Chair, Representative Phillips, I'm not certain why the drafter chose the word giving. I don't think it's a problem if you were more comfortable with providing certain state agency notices. If there's a word that you're more comfortable with there, there's no concern on our part, as long as the intent is the same, that what we're talking about here is the ability for the Lieutenant Governor to allow for shorter public printed notices.
Phillips, is that then we're going to repeat?
It would be consistent with the language in the amendment if that was changed to the word provided, or to the provision of certain, or to the or even publication, or furnished, or publication. Maybe publication, an act relating to the publication of certain state agency notices. I think I'd be more comfortable with that. And I'd make that an amendment.
As a sponsor, I'll represent Berkowitz first, and then
I just want to understand. I think Representative Phillips has an amendment on the amendment to the amendment. And I just want to make sure I understood it.
Right. My amendment to the amendment would be on page 1, line 3, an act relating to the publication rather than to the giving.
Representative Porter.
Thanks. My question goes to, I guess, this issue.
saying publication certainly limits it, and I see in the sectional that Ms. Bannister did, in the third paragraph, second line, it says it deletes reference to a broadcast notice providing the name and date of the publication where the full text of the public can be found. This would somehow defeat the purpose for abbreviating public notices in newspapers. Why would that defeat the purpose of providing it in newspapers if we did it by broadcast media?
Chair Representative Porter, you know, I've looked at this about 14 times, and I had the same question that you had when I read through this, and I haven't read through it in a couple of days, and so I'm going to be a little slow to respond. The Lieutenant Governor's office may have a more ready answer for you because it was in the same bill in 1987 that the Lieutenant Governor, the Governor had introduced, and I apologize. I do know the answer to it, but it's not in the top of my head.
We'll be hearing from the Lieutenant Governor's office, I believe. Representative Berkowitz?
I'll pass the time in.
Okay. Do I hear any opposition to the amendment? Hearing none, so amended. Okay. If you've got any more comments, or at this time we can have the Lieutenant Governor's office comment.
The amendment to the amendment.
The amendment, that's true.
That's all.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm John Lindback from the Lieutenant Governor's office.
Can I spell your name, please?
LindbacK.
Okay.
I'd like to talk just for a minute about House Bill 315 as it was introduced, and then go to our comments on the amendment. House Bill 315 as introduced is a very simple bill, and it embodies something that just needs to happen. The Alaska Administrative Journal, which was implemented by the legislature in the early 80s, has become a creature of the past. It is a journal of public notices that are published elsewhere. Subscribership has dropped from over 100 when Lieutenant Governor Elmer first took office to 9, mm-hmm. because the information is now available on the internet. And we have a new system implemented last summer called the Online Public Notice System, which has been very successful and is very popular with the public, and we think it's a good idea that it be a statutory requirement for agencies to put their notices in the online public notice system. It's time for that to happen. And so that's the whole idea behind the bill. The amendments proposed today are problematic, we think, for the bill. We think they're problematic because we know the newspaper industry opposes it. We know that because the governor proposed these provisions in a bill in 1997, and they hated it. And it was really hard for us to, in fact, that bill didn't even get a hearing. They hated it so much. They were successful in killing it. And we don't want to see what is a very simple and necessary thing, such as making online notices a statutory requirement, be killed by placing this amendment on this bill, and we think that's what's going to happen. Somewhere in the long road of the legislative process, it will mean the death to this bill, and that is our fear. It's not that we think that the amendments are so horrible, though we do think that there is a way for agencies to abbreviate their notice without this amendment, and DOT proved that and got publicity on it last summer. They went through and cleaned up their public notices that are printed in the legal ads and saved substantial amount of money and got a lot of publicity on it without changing the statute. And other agencies could follow suit and should follow suit and do the same thing. And so there is a way to save money that does not require a statute change. And we think that work needs to be done with the newspaper industry to come up with amendments that they feel comfortable with before this legislation will be successful. So that is the sum and substance of my comments today, if you have any questions.
Is there any question? Representative Porter.
John, I don't know if you heard the question. I don't know if the bill in its original form, did it delete the possibility of using broadcast media for these notices?
You know, this whole subject of broadcast notices is fairly recent, because the legislature passed a bill back in the early 90s allowing for broadcast notice to substitute broadcast notice for newspaper notices under certain conditions. A good example of that would be if you were going to have a hearing on a fish and game matter in rural Alaska where there's no newspaper. You could under those provisions, do the public notice on the radio in that particular community and solve that problem. We have a lot of notices that are applicable to rural Alaska only that are being published in urban newspapers because there's no other place to put them. And so that was the real benefit of that bill that passed back in the early 90s. I do not remember the old bill doing that, but I can tell you that I had Deborah Baer from the Department of Law compare this amendment to what was proposed in 1997, and she didn't see any substantive difference between this amendment and what was proposed in 1997. So, you know, and that may be correct, and that the old bill did that as well. So I can't shed a whole lot of light on this situation.
Chairman, if I may, as far as you know, the bill that you filed sans this amendment did not alter the broadcast media provision.
I didn't think it did. Agencies would like that flexibility. I know from our experience with this issue, agencies would like that flexibility to, under certain limited circumstances, substitute a broadcast notice for the requirement for a published notice.
Is anybody from the newspaper here, media? I wonder. There should be if we're dealing with them, I guess. But Annette was making on the point of.
For his question, and I'm sorry that I did not have it. It does not do away with broadcast, and I just wasn't reading far enough. All this provision does in the amendment on page 2, lines 15 through 19, which is what you're concerned about, It deletes the language that says, when broadcasting the notice, an agency may use an abbreviated form of the notice if the broadcast provides the name and date of the newspaper or trade or industry journal where the full text of the notice can be found. And that's why that's being deleted, because no longer will there be full text. It doesn't have any impact on broadcast other than just deleting that sentence that talks about that. So I'm sorry, and it was in the original bill, and that's why John didn't remember that, because neither one of us connected them.
And then if you just stay in place, maybe, and Representative.
One question for both of them. You said DOT did something where they shortened it up. They did it without statutory change.
They just went through and did a better job of writing their legal notices and saved a lot of money and got publicity for it.
Is there any reason why the other agencies aren't doing that?
Not that I know of. And I think some of them have tried to follow suit, and maybe they are and just didn't get publicity for it because
they
didn't ballyhoo it.
No, it's no lawyer jokes. I just don't quite understand why, if it's obvious we can do it without a statutory change, we don't do it without a statutory change.
Representative Berkowitz, I would say that, as I recall the newspaper opposition to this, they made an argument at the time that by eliminating some of those requirements of what you have to put in an ad, that the public wouldn't be receiving as much information as they would if you leave the statute alone. And that's true. It's hard to argue with that. At the time, we argued that the public wasn't seeing the legal notices because they're stuffed away in the back of the paper. So what difference does it make? And we thought it was a good idea to try and to do more prominent advertising of the regulations. We couldn't convince them of that. We couldn't get them to buy it. It turned into a big hassle, and frankly, we didn't want to include it in a bill like this because we didn't want to fight that battle this year. And, you know, if this amendment is placed on this bill, it forces us to fight a battle we didn't want to have to fight, and we don't want to do that.
Sort of a two-part question for Annette, and I hate to pick on this spot.
First of all, why is Senator Lehman championing this? And secondly, you know, if the Senate did it with two-thirds, they could do a title change. So what's the problem here?
To answer the first question through the chair, Representative Berkowitz, Senator Lehman is still championing this because it has not been done without statutory change. This is not a new idea for him. He has brought this forward before. And the second part of it is, yes, with two-thirds we could do a title change, and but we didn't want to do that as the first objective. We thought we would come and see if the House was amenable to amending this legislation.
There is not a Senate bill?
Not through the chair, Representative Porter, not that's moving.
There is a version of this in Senate Judiciary. It's a Senate Finance Committee.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for Nick, because I don't think I was here. You said that Senator still championing it. What happened the first time? I wasn't here, so I don't know.
Through the chair, Representative Jewell, I think it's the same thing that what John Lindbeck has been talking about. I think the Newspaper Association prevailed with some members, and I don't know if that will happen again because we're in a different fiscal situation than we were then. I think that if we can say this, from his perspective, it's a fiduciary responsibility. The responsibility is not to look at the bottom line of the newspaper industry, but to look at the bottom line of the state. And if we can save, as DOT did, several hundred thousand dollars in legal advertisements and still get the information out to the public that's necessary in a legal notice so that they know what's going on, and also have the availability of the online public notice system. And John and I have been going back and forth about, you know, not every system is foolproof. The online public notice system is not foolproof, and legal notices are not foolproof. And, you know, you have to have several different mediums, and this doesn't do away with that medium of legal notice advertising.
Thank you. On that point, go ahead.
On that point, and I will claim his crutch because you keep calling the representative in this form. So, you know, it seems to me that not much has changed in the Senate recently. I don't see there's been a big personality turnover. And I didn't track this bill the first time it went through, but I like to see good bits of legislation go through and not get saddled down with provisions that make it hard to move through either the House or through the other body. Unless you have seen some sort of sea change in the Senate that would indicate that the bill as you intend to amend it would go through, I'm inclined to oppose this amendment because it would seem to be the death of the bill.
Through the chair, Representative Berkowitz, I can't predict the future, and I wouldn't attempt to do that here, and all I can say is that I, working on the Finance Committee, I know what we're up against, and every bit of money that the state can save, I think they have to look at that. And I think the legislature is looking at that every avenue. So I don't know whether that will be enough to change people's minds. I just don't know.
Okay.
Is there any reason for you to believe that the bill getting to the Senate would not have the same committee of referrals that the bill Senate version did?
It doesn't. I'm sorry, through the chair, Representative Porter. It doesn't always go that way. They don't always get referred to the same committees. There are exceptions, and I don't know if this bill would be one of those exceptions. But it does happen that they get different committee referrals on different sides.
I'd like to address this issue of cost. When these provisions were introduced as a governor's bill in 1997, the fiscal note was zero. They did not have negative fiscal notes. And the reason for that was that agencies saw that as an opportunity for them to not advertise in a cheaper way, but to advertise in a more prominent way. By moving ads out of the legal section and into the display ad, nobody could speak with confidence that that would really save money. But the reason that the agencies liked it at the time was that the advertising would be more prominent, and we'd get fewer complaints from people about regs that they didn't know were going to happen, et cetera. And so I think there's an argument to be made about whether or not this amendment would truly save money.
On that point, you said where there's comments here it would save hundreds of thousands of dollars. How much are we paying? Do you have any guesstimate of what we're paying now?
I'm sorry, I don't, but it's a lot.
Who would you say in the state's the biggest person or the biggest entity that we're paying to?
You mean which media outlet? Well, the big three that usually get the most legal ads are the Anchorage Daily News, the Fairbanks News Miner, and the Juneau Empire. If you take a look at all the regulation packets that come through our office, I would say that 95% of them, those are the three places where they advertise.
In that order, probably, right?
Probably, yeah.
Is there discounts given for volume? There seems to be a tremendous amount of volume here. So does the Anchorage Daily News give discounts, or the Juneau Empire for volume, or Fairbanks, or do you know?
You know, I can't speak to that. We looked at it back in 97 from the standpoint of what they were charging, but I just don't recall, because it was so long ago, whether or not they had special deals from government. I don't recall that they did.
Well, they should.
They might.
They should, I think, with this amount. I know that the person advertising the paper, it's all based, the cost is based on volume, whether it be groceries or advertising or things like that. So I would hope that I wish the media was here to answer some of these questions. Do you have any idea why they're not here? No. Well, thank you. Is there any more? No more questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ned, was there any discussion with the media on this amendment prior to this committee hearing?
Representative Cott, through the chair, they are well aware of the amendment. They have called Senator Lehman, and he's expressed much of what I've said, that his fiduciary responsibility is to the state and not to individual companies in terms of what they have to do. We have to look at the bottom line for the state. And so they've had conversations with a representative of the Newspaper Association, Newspaper Publishers Association.
Was there any representative Porter?
Well, I don't know how many other folks did, but I got a call from John Winter, the Empire, before this meeting. I'd be happy to tell you what he said if you want. I'd like to hear, but I think you can well imagine.
Well, let's take a vote.
Thank you. Any more of that witness?
Let's move the amendment.
Okay, we got a motion to move the amendment. Any objection?
Object.
You want to call for a vote, or you want to state your objections?
I think if the Senate wants to play with this, the Senate should play with it. But I'm quite willing to vote on this bill as it moves through the House.
Okay, vote on this. Or Representative Porter, sorry.
Under discussion. Mm-hmm. I think I'm inclined to vote no on the amendment myself. I appreciate the intent of the amendment, and I can't say that I don't agree with it, having some experience with our daily newspaper in Anchorage and this particular cause. The Assembly finally got their attention by putting municipal advertising in the Alaska Star, and I think got a better break. But unless we know that this action is going to be of some chance of success, and for example, not get a judiciary referral, again, here we are taking the heat, and guess who escapes? So.
Well, it seems to me that I'm disappointed the newspaper media wasn't here. I think they're not here because, in my opinion, that they didn't want to be on record on this, but I think that since we're dealing with them, that they should be here, and but they're not. So
that's they're never here when you want them.
I know. I think the purpose—they have a purpose for not being here. We spend a tremendous amount of money on advertising and this type of thing. As I understand, there's no discounts involved. But anyway, okay. Let's have a roll call vote.
Representative Porter.
No.
Representative Green. Representative Phillips.
No.
Representative Cott.
No.
Representative Berkowitz.
No.
Representative Jewell.
No.
Chairman Calvi.
Yes. It fails. So the next thing, Representative Phillips, you want
to? I move for the. Do we need to move?
The bill.
I move that we move House Bill 315 out of rules with individual recommendations.
Any objection? Hearing none, so moved. Yes. Enough more to come before the committee?
Yeah.
Oh, we got
we have
the
bill.
Oh.
I will be very brief.
We got three?
Two.
No, just two.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Our resolution is House Joint Resolution number 48. It deals with opening the and keeping the borders between the United States and Canada open to everybody that goes through.
Yeah.
And basically, it's something that the Council of State Governments, the National Governors Association, a lot of different organizations on the West Coast have tried to get this amendment to the federal law, the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigration Responsibility Act of 1996. There's a provision in it that would restrict the free flow of people back and forth between Canada and the United States. Our resolution says that we support, in Alaska, we support leaving those borders open. And the reason I had to come to rules, we had this in World Trade Committee, the reason I brought it to rules was to, thank goodness, to our conscience or what do we call them, over here in the minority. We needed a clarification on the words between Canadian citizens crossing land borders, the land borders in the United States. And so all we're doing is making an amendment here, which I would propose that we adopt amendment number one to clarify the language that says Canadian citizens at land border crossing stations along the Canadian-U.S. border, to clarify the intent of what the resolution is.
You move the amendment.
And I would move the amendment.
Any opposition? Hearing none. And
Mr. Speaker, I'd move HJR 48 as amended with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Any opposition? So moved.
Thank you all.
We're adjourned.
Do it.